email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, County Meath's most famous female comedian, Justine Stafford.
Oh, Ray, you're too kind. You're too kind.
Well, you know, it's punching above its weight when it comes to comedy, isn't it, Meath?
It is. There's a lot of competition in Meath. I don't know what's in the water, but you know, you have Tommy Tiernan, obviously, Dylan Moore and Hector.
Yeah.
And you have Michael Fry as well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Also Sharon Horgan as well.
Oh, yeah.
She's Meath as well, so.
She's not officially a comedian, is she?
I'd put her down as one comedy writer and performer now.
Yes,
but definitely far more in that, like, I'm in the midst of watching the second series now of Bad Sisters and I'm hooked.
I only watched episode one, but an amazing woman.
Yeah, truly.
I saw that her company is worth 31 million the other day in the paper.
Powerful woman. So, yeah, yes. That's now all ahead of me.
Yeah. So you weren't definitely born in 1978, but you do have a connection with 1978. Yes,
I do. Well, obviously, you have Joe Dolan. Released a song in that year, but also Grease, the soundtrack came out.
Yes.
And the musical, because that was one of my first, I think, performances on stage, because we did it in Nobber, in the secondary school I was in, but we didn't do the accents.
Did you not?
So it was the Nobber version of Grease. So it was very like, Kinnicky, where are you now? Well, tell me more. Very different.
And which part did you play?
I was Rizzo.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it was the first time I'd even sang in public or anything, and we had to do auditions, and I sang Happy Birthday.
Right.
That got me the part, so.
Because Rizzo was the naughty one.
She was, and that was a very difficult role for me to play because I was very much a nerd in school. It was very out of character now for me to play that.
Aha.
Yeah, so.
Right, it so was, it involved acting.
Absolutely.
You weren't typecast.
No, I wasn't. No, right. That would have been worse now. Right. But, yeah.
Here's a bit of Rizzo from Grease. You can sing along if you like.
The thing is, I was singing it very much like, look at me, I'm Sandra. She's doing a wonderful rendition there now in comparison. Because they brought us all, we went to London to see the musical in prep and we're like,
right.
We don't sound like this at all.
Yeah. But and so you were shy and was that a sort of a pivotal moment?
I think
life.
It actually was, to be honest, because I think up until that time I'd never considered anything like that. And I think people were surprised in the school that I would do something like that because I was very much focused on the studies. And even doing that was affecting studies because
yes.
I was studying for the Leaving Cert at this point and thinking, God, am I going to be able to do this at the same time? But it was something that then I really realised, God, I really enjoy doing this.
So why did you do it in the first place? You know, what was it?
I think they were downcast. It was kind of like we needed
to feel... Oh, they were downcast as opposed to downtrodden.
Yeah. It was like you needed to field a football team. We don't have enough players for the stage here. So it was kind of a situation where I was like, look at them, we go for it.
Yeah,
they wanted everyone to audition. And
right. And you sang Happy Birthday and got Rizzo. Which is probably the most interesting character in the movie.
Do you know, and at the time I was sad that I didn't get
Sandy
because that was the main role in my opinion. And then when I look back on it now and I'm like, I actually did two very different songs as well during it and there was a far more comedic role to play, I think, as well.
Yeah,
and there was a lot more like attitude involved. Yeah. And I think now looking back, I was like, God, they actually cast that very well.
I did have a crush on Olivia Newton-John though.
Of course.
Yes, yes.
Still do.
Yeah. Well, she's not with us anymore, but
will remain.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking because Christmas is in the air now, isn't it? So we can talk about Christmas. You've had a busy year. We'll get back to that. But were you sort of a girly girl or a tomboy or what sort of presents did you get?
I was very much a tomboy because I had one older brother growing up. So I was kind of influenced by that. It was Action Men.
And can you say a tomboy now? Is that?
I still would. I'm not sure.
I don't know what you can say and what you can't say.
But I was very much influenced because all my cousins were boys as well. So I grew up kind of, you had to be, you know, the dinner was put in front of you. If you didn't eat it, the brother would get, you know, you were fighting for, you know. So you grew up with that and I was definitely influenced by that. So I was never really into dresses. It was a struggle to keep me in the communion dress for the remainder of the communion.
Yeah.
I was very much just all about trousers and going to secondary school, I had to go somewhere that I could wear trousers versus
right. That
a
skirt. Was a deal breaker,
was it? It really was.
Right.
So,
right.
But I remember one year for Christmas getting a Barbie and I was brokenhearted by that because I'd have no interest in getting that at all. So me and my brother got the lawnmower and we crossed over the Barbie.
You know
what? We ran over the Barbie with the lawnmower.
And what was it? Was it an electric one or a...
Oh, the handheld one.
The handheld one, yeah.
Back in the day. And that was a really fun afternoon. But when I look back on it now, I think it's actually, I was ahead of the times. I was like challenging the view of women and, you know, the Barbie, the figure that they had and that kind of thing. I was like, oh, maybe I was ahead of my times there.
Yeah. And you were brought up on a farm.
I was.
What class of a farm?
Dairy farm.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Which is always interesting at Christmas, actually, because my brother is a vegan. He was a vegan for 10 years. And somehow he's still the favourite child. And my dad, a dairy farmer. You'd wonder what's going on.
Yeah, what is going
You'd
on?
You have to wonder. But my brother, actually, this year, last month, he decided to go back to eating meat. So it's going to be the first year we'll have Christmas dinner and my brother won't be eating a nut loaf. He'll be eating.
I know it's his story, but why did he decide to go back?
I think he just always thought, you know, wanted to get more healthy and get into it. And I have to give him credit because the food he would make is divine.
Yes.
It's just so time consuming. Like,
right.
You know, even for Christmas dinner, he'd be soaking mushrooms two nights before to make a gravy. And I'm like, who has the time?
Yeah. And the smell of a rasher.
How could you? Like, fair play to him. I have such respect because that's a tough one to turn down.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Now, he had the faking. It's like a fake bacon thing,
but you can't
beat the real deal.
So your dad, an interesting character by from what I read, is he still farming?
He's kind of, the mother as well is trying to get him to like ease down on it, you know, because it's a very labour intense job, you know, and as you get older it's a harder thing to do and we're not really involved in the farming to help out as well, so he is slowly but surely trying to just wean out of it.
And he's resourceful when it comes to mending things.
He would be. That'd be like, if I have a problem with a car, that's the only man to go to. And like, he could just look at the car and tell me what's wrong with it before even examining it. And he's the only man for the job. But even with his work clothes, you have that image of a farmer and he's baling twine around his belt.
Yes,
you know, that kind of vibe.
Keep his trousers up. Yeah, yeah.
Pure chic. That's my father now to a T. But he's gone to other levels that I've never seen before. There was a button gone on his coat and he put a screw in to replace it, which I've never seen before. And he called it Survival. He was like, I think that's a few of the clothing brand.
It would be called Survival.
But the screw fell out. So he then replaced that with a twig, which is what he's now using in his coat.
A twig.
But look at Ray. Like, he's ahead of the game here because, you know, he's reusing clothes.
It's still working
quality. He's getting the use and the wear out of it.
I was saying you had a very busy year. You've just finished season two of No Worries If Not.
Yes. Sketch show that we did back in 2022. So it's the second series of that now.
Yeah. It's nice to be asked back.
Absolutely, Ray.
Yeah.
So it's myself and Emma Doran, Sean Burke, Michael Fry and Killian Sunderman as the main cast.
And comedy is about confidence. Mm-hmm. So when you get asked back, that's a vote of confidence.
It sure is.
Was there a different atmosphere on set this time?
I think all of us in the meantime have done so much more that we all felt more confident as well to be able to do it because we've done so much video content in the meantime as well as like live shows that we all felt far more equipped to get back into the writing and produce a better array of sketches and shoot them all.
And you have the benefit of getting feedback from the first one.
Totally that. So it's been such an intense period, but it's been, I mean, so much fun as well.
Yeah.
That I really can't wait. We're all very excited now to see. And we've seen some rough cuts and we're already just so excited.
And you did the high road and the low road with Dara Ennis from The Chase.
Yes.
We've spoken to Dara a few times. Where is he from? Rathcoole.
Yes.
Rathcoole in County Dublin. Yes. He used to be a school teacher, was he?
He does lectures now still.
Oh, maybe he's a lecturer. Yes.
But that was a great man to be paired with because can't talk about where we went because there's a big reveal because we didn't know where we were going. But he's like a walking Wikipedia page, which was great to have because he knows the history of every monument you're looking at. And it was wonderful to have that beside me at all times.
Yeah.
But it was very funny when we were in the airport going because a man came up to us and he was like, sorry, I don't know who either of you are, but are you doing the High Road, Low Road? He's like, I love that show. And I just love that. He loves the show. It hasn't a clue who either the people on it were.
So he saw two random people with cameras and he just assumed.
That it was the High Road, Low Road.
Yes,
and I was like, that's class. I'd take that any day over being...
Well, that proves that the format is popular.
It's a really successful format.
Yeah, you and Dara may not be.
Not a clue. Having a blues clue who you are, but I love the show. I love that.
Yeah. And what about stand-up? Are you doing any stand-up?
So the show at the minute, because it's just been so intense, I kind of half haven't been focused on that. But for the new year, I'm planning to get back into that. And we're doing a show now in Vicar Street in December. It's kind of like a live Thai show vibe where we're doing sketches and things. There's Tony Cantwell and Killian Sunderman and a lot of other comedians involved. So
good crack.
That's now around the corner.
Now, Niall McCabe is behind you there. And Niall is going to pick up his guitar and he's going to play a song for us.
It's great. It's going to be sang out.
So I won't say goodbye to you yet, Justine.